is.
And on that note, for the people that can't see Ben's funny faces, I want to welcome everybody to the world. According to that man, Benjamin Jeremy
Ben Stein is now saluting.
Ben Stein is now, thank you for the visuals. He's not really dressed. He likes long walks on the beach.
I get the joke.
Thank you. I want to welcome everybody to the world, according to Ben Stein.
That's very, very funny.
I want to remind everybody to please go to our Rumble channel if you're listening to this via podcast, and all you have to do is subscribe. And also, we are now on locals.com.
And it's local.
That's exactly right. And we posted a really poignant video there today, and I think everybody should watch it. I'll talk about it in a second. And of course, benstein.substack.com to get our emails. We are joined tonight by Rob Kendall, that for some reason is wearing a hat instead of showing us his luscious locks from WeGrowHairIndy.com.
Oh, I want a hat too. Jeff, could you find me a hat?
Rob Kendall from 93.1 WIBC. Bam, the president of conservative talk radio.
Did you know that they have a deal at the Kentucky Fried Chicken in Brownsburg, Indiana, where you can get basically five meals for $20.99?
Five meals of chicken?
It's chicken, three sides, four biscuits. I can get like five meals out of this, and it was $20.99. What a bargain.
Wait, I want to ask you a question. May I ask you a question?
Yes.
Is it good for you to eat that much chicken?
We don't eat it all at one time.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I don't even know where to... five meals.
It'll be Thursday.
Okay, I understand that.
I don't even know where to go from there. And of course, this show wouldn't be complete without America's humble servant, actor, writer, provocateur, saint, sinner, lover, father, grandfather, mathematician, mathematician. He has been blinded by science, but most importantly, Dr. Benjamin Jeremy Stein. And to the people out there that don't get that reference, Dr. Fauci, I don't even think he's a doctor, Ben. You're more of a doctor than Fauci. The other day saying, I am science. Like, I'm surprised.
What? Wait a minute. Did you just make that up?
No, I didn't make that up, Rob. Did I make that up, Rob?
He said, I am science. Sure, right.
I am science.
God help us.
I don't know how you argue with that, Ben. And a friend of mine who's a really brilliant guy said, he had said to me, you know, he's going to start wearing shirts with like the atom bomb and, you know, and all the weapons that we've created going, I am science. And I just thought that was extremely
terrifying. And may I make an observation about that?
Yeah, please do.
In 2007, my friend, Mr. Ruloff, and I and several other people made a movie called Expelled about the fraud of Darwinian evolution and how the biblical account of it is just as much likely as being right as the Darwinian account. And some people said, oh, well, that's nonsense. You have to follow the science. It's always science. That's science. And I said to them, you know, scientists stood at the train loading and unloading platform at Auschwitz.
Yeah, I was about to
say telling the Jews which one of them was fit to live as a slave laborer and which had to be gassed and burned immediately. And they were scientists. And the Fuhrer said, these people are scientists. Don't argue with the Fuhrer. And lots of people in England and even some in the United States said, they're right. Science says, Darwinian science says, the Jews are lower than monkeys. The Jews are just rats of something, maybe worse, whatever's worse than a rat. And those are scientists. And I know, scientists, fuck you.
And for those that can't hear, or can't see, Ben just gave a middle finger to science. And we are joined by from thesimplelifenow.com, Gary Collins, a man with 152 bunkers or storage units across America.
Where are you?
He doesn't even know.
Where is he? Like, what is that? Is that a reverse mirror?
You know what that is? I know what that is. That is a Picasso, a very famous Picasso. It's painting called Guernica, right?
It's Gowrie's new studio. But Rob, to Ben's point, and I wanted to get into something else, but it's such a brilliant point of with this science thing. And I was on the phone earlier today with Gowrie. We were talking about this new variant that comes. I don't know if Gowrie could hear us yet, but we were talking about this science thing, and pretty much nobody's died, Rob. Not one person has confirmed dead. And we were talking about how in Africa, getting COVID is like the best case scenario of things you could get.
Well, I'm very jealous that you have phone calls with Gary. I don't get phone calls.
You don't return
anymore.
My calls. You don't answer my calls. You're impossible
to
get through.
I'm not a phone talker. I'm a texter. But yes, it is interesting, right? That we talked about this on the air today. There's a huge group of people that have yet to understand that COVID is here to stay. It's a part of society. It's a part of the world in which we live now. And every time there's a new variant, you can't be freaking out about it. It's just like any other virus or many other forms of illness, that there are going to be different forms of said virus or illness.
That is a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant point. And
that's
I would like
been.
To thank you. It's really brilliant. Really brilliant.
It's what I do. And so, you know, now it's
what I do.
Oh, it's Omicron. What's the next one?
What are you? You're Fauci now. It's what I do. And Ben to Gowrie, can you hear us now?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Perfect. You sound crisp and clear, and you look dynamite. You look edible, Gowrie, from thesimplelifenow.com.
But where ben, are you, Gowrie? Where are you?
I'm in my brand new studio. I was having technical difficulties. I couldn't.
May I ask where you, what city you're in our town? If you know,
I'll tell you what state.
What state?
I'm still in Arizona. I'm at my house. I've been building this house in studio forever, and now we're getting there. But I recorded my first episode with the new equipment, but I've never done a Zoom interview. I did a solo, and I had no idea what I was.
You did a Jeffrey Toobin, but getting back to it, Ben, and then I'll go to Gowrie. Is that, Ben, what you're saying essentially, and this is what you've been saying to people for the longest time, is when you state, I am science, you are essentially, and this was your whole point when we got banned from that time on YouTube and all this stuff, that if you have a differing of opinion, let's say on the economy or anything like that, who's next to say? Is the chief of the economy going to say, I am economy?
Yeah, it's an astonishing idea. And there's a famous big city political boss was famed for saying, I am the law. And when people say, I am some incredibly important part of life, like science, it's a sign of the decay of society, a sign of the decay of thought or reason. It's a bad effing thing. And, you know, Fauci has done nothing but lie or else make awfully bad guesses since this whole thing started. I mean, it's been nothing but wrong all along. Why are we still listening to him? And why is that imbecile Biden keeping him on board? Well, I sort of answered my own question.
But Gowrie, he's right. I mean, there is no science to his science. Like if there was an honest reporter asking him to, you know, asking him as he was saying this, as I am science and knocking on Cruz and being political, somebody would have said, how can you be science if your science has been so incorrect?
Well, and he's been caught saying numerous things. And it's sad because no one knows what he stands for. He's all over the board.
Well, I respectfully offer an observation about this, Gowrie. Uh-huh. I think he stands for Dr. Fauci. He stands for himself, putting himself forward so that at the end of the day, if he's not exhausted from overwork, if he still has the strength to speak, he can go out and get 100,000 a pop speeches. That's what it sounds like to me.
Well, they're all greedy. We know that.
Well, that's the nature of humanity.
Well, that's the nature of politicians. I mean, humanity, then you throw them into a political role and it's on steroids.
But right.
The problem with Fauci is, you know, when he went to January 6th, you know, it was kind of ironic that he goes, you know, this shouldn't be political. And he instantly goes political.
Yeah.
Wait, wait a minute. He was there?
No, he brought up January 6th in the same interview.
Yeah, because Rand Paul and Ted Cruz have just been hammering him. And he goes, well, what about January 6th? And it's like, what does this have to do with the price of tea in China? Just asked Hunter Biden. But I mean, no one knows. I mean, the guy is an absolute nut. The problem with the Biden administration, which is fairly obvious, besides it's a shit show, is that no one's resigned and no one's been fired. That's the telling tale of this whole thing. You have such sociopathic, mega egomaniacs that they don't think they do anything wrong. They think everything they say is 100% correct. And screw you. You're a racist, evil white man. If you don't even if you're black.
You nailed it. That's right. That's it. Even if you're black, you stand up for reason and good sense and law-abiding behavior, you are a white oppressor.
I see you wanting to jump in, Rob.
Well, I was going to say, I think the term that Gary and Ben were looking for was self-absorbed narcissist. I think that's the term you're looking for. And the problem is, guys like Fauci have been able to become super famous and live out their life's ambition with something that has nothing to do with science. I mean, you know, these magazine covers throwing out, you know, the first pitch at the Nationals game.
Wait a minute. Fauci did that?
Yeah. He did that at the beginning of the pandemic.
Oh my God.
Empty stadium. He was there with his wife or brother or somebody. And
he threw the ball to second base by accident. he's got an amazing arm on him going wrong.
But the point is, and again, we talked about this on the air today. It's like, you know, Fauci is the highest paid employee in the federal government.
Wait a minute. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Whatever it is, 475,000 or something like that.
Yeah, 475,000.
That's way more than the president gets paid.
Yeah.
And so that's
how does that work? I mean, I've been
he's got a $6 million mammoth budget, more than $6 million. It's something which starts with a six, maybe $60 million budget. He writes his own pay. I mean, what he's been working there for 30 years, 35 years. He's gotten an increase in pay, I'm sure, every certain...
This is incredible. Yeah. This is mind-boggling.
Yeah, it's really scary stuff. Rob,
and this is a guy who's just so unqualified. It's insane. Yeah.
And you know what the problem is, Rob, as he's saying this, and Gary? Everybody knows he's unqualified. Like, even if you're a sycophant on the left, you have to really look at him and say, if you saw him in the hospital and he was your doctor, you'd be like, I'm getting a second opinion.
Yes, I'm getting out of here.
There's not one person that if Fauci was their doctor wouldn't come home and say to their loved one or themselves, I think I might be going to a different place to get treated.
Or else I think I might be going to eternity.
Yeah. And yeah, get right. Good.
Well, I was gonna say, but and we talked about this. Okay, so Fauci, you know, he's magazine covers, TV interviews. He's the highest paid federal employee, so he gets rewarded. There's never accountability for his mess ups. It's the same thing though with the guy who was the former Surgeon General, Jerome Adams, the same guy who was scolding people for buying masks in the beginning, and then became Mr. Mask guy. He got a cushy job at Purdue University. These guys, for being wrong, always have a landing spot. They always have somewhere to go. They never get punished. They always get rewarded.
So you're right, Gary. He's got a perfect point. But Gary, this is what one of the reasons I'm sure you quit the bureaucracy. Was because nobody really ever gets fired. They just get moved around.
Oh, no. Huh. The worker bees and the whistleblowers get fired. That's the thing, is if you end up on the wrong side of these people, they will hunt you down and they will destroy your career. I've said this many times. Well, in my job, it's a little different. My former job. But once, and I'm sure Ben knows this as well, once you get blackballed out of the government, it screws you throughout your entire career. I mean, you get fired out of the government and you go to apply for another job. They go, you got fired out of the government? I didn't even think that was possible. You know what I mean? And so it leaves kind of this black scar, but the senior executive service and all these, you know, I've looked at the pay scale numerous times in the federal government. I've never seen Fauci's pay scale. I have no idea what pay scale he's on. I never saw it.
I've never seen it. My father was at the very, very top of the civil service pay scale. He was chairman of the Council of Economic Advisors, of chairman of the Council of Economic Advisors. There's nobody above him in terms of pay grade. And even adjusting for the many, many years that have passed since then, there's nothing close to that level.
Well, and the thing too is we know what I think where the American people are getting fed up with this too is what's the next one, you know, Megatron? Every version, this one sounds, each one sounds a little scarier, you know, ISIS-K. They always have these little shakes they give you where you go, oh no, government, come save me. I'm scared. And I kid you not, me and Judah were talking about this today. I went out yesterday and I had to go to Tucson and go do some stuff. Literally, I was just there. I just drove through there. Everyone was masked up. Within 24 hours of this, I saw a major shift in masks. I went into the store. It was me and another dude that didn't have a mask on. We were the only ones in the entire grocery store. And it was packed. It was lunchtime. And I went, I mean, I saw young people. I saw college students. I saw old people. Everyone, male, female, did not matter. Everyone had a mask on. And I'm looking around going, what are you doing? It doesn't work. It's been proven masks don't work. If the vaccine works, why doesn't it work? You know, now we're getting a booster. And the funny thing is now they're telling you to go get a booster, but the booster hasn't been tested on the new variant.
No, and they're saying, and now the head of Moderna actually came out and said today that it won't work on the new variant.
How can you don't know what the new variant is?
Yeah. So Ben, basically what he said was we're going to need to be 3 months in the lab and make another billion shots with this new booster. And I don't want to harp on this too much because I really wanted, you know, this is, it's obviously this is an amazing power grab, Ben. It has been the whole time. It's all about power. And
No, it isn't all about power. It's also all about money.
Yeah, I mean, money and power. I mean,
it's funny because you guys have a capacity to teach me. And a few nights ago, you were telling me that all this injection stuff had a lot to do with making money for the drug companies. And I scoffed at that and said, no, they're really trying to help people. And I'm sure there are some people there who are. But the more I think about it, the more I think, no, it's about money. My wifey, the world's best person, and I spend a lot of time every night, just not every night, watching a British murder mystery story series called Foyle's War. And they have an introduction of a clip from the greatest English mystery writer of all time, Agatha Christie, who said, not in that interview, but in another interview, money is almost always the motivation for murder. And I keep thinking to myself, money is such an incredible motivator. And there's just so much of that motivation floating around Washington now, floating around the whole world. These drug companies are getting so incredibly fat and sassy from this pandemic. It's really like nothing we've ever seen before. And I don't know if you gentlemen, you're all so much younger than I am, are aware of this, that for some Nazis, a large part of their motivation wasn't just racial purity, keeping the Aryan race pure, but stealing the money of the Jews.
Yeah.
And taking a very large percent of the German war budget for the first couple of years of the war was money stolen from the Jews. So that's a terrifying, terrifying reminder of how powerful the influence of money is. And I hate to think of how much of an effect it's having on the fight against COVID right now.
I'm so glad you said that. And also they're shaping policy. So it's not just about money. And we've discussed big tech being the fourth branch, but now the pharmaceutical companies.
Big media is the fourth branch. And yeah. I think that to some extent, now they're all hooked in together. Big tech, media, Democrat Party, they're all hooked in together. And we're just poor little peons squeezed in between. Our balls are put in a giant vise and squeezed.
Enjoy that image.
Well, Gary, think about Lesser. This. Yeah. Yeah, well, with Jack Dorsey resigning, I hate Jack Dorsey. Everyone knows that. I've called him names directly on Twitter and sent them to him. I think he's one of the worst human beings known to man. He's completely an absolute habitual liar. And people defended him and said, well, Jack Dorsey, it's too big. He can't leave. He left like that. And I said that. I said, he can leave that company anytime he wants. He left when it was convenient for him, and he got this crazy jackass that he's sliding in there that's even more radical than him. And you see the left going,
and who,
job,
may I
good
ask
job,
who,
Jack.
Who is that new guy, please?
I don't know the name. I heard a couple sound bites today of his.
Yeah, he's basically he's crazy. Worse. He's openly admitting that he's against free speech.
Yeah, he's going to censor and anyone who doesn't agree
with
him.
He's openly pretty much said that. And Rob, last word on this, Rob.
We were talking about this today. I say, I would love to know, I hope someday someone will be able to write a book about the code and the algorithms that Twitter use, because I say super offensive things all the time, and I never get banned or shadow banned, and I think it's because I say a lot of mean things about Republicans.
I don't think anybody could know why or why they get a hard-on for certain people, but I just want to say something really quickly.
But isn't that weird? I mean, wouldn't you love to know what the code is, the standard is?
Everybody would love to know. I'd love to know that time we got banned that one night, what exactly what it was we said. I'm happy we're on Rumble, and I'm happy it pushed us over to this section. But Ben, you know, I just want to say something to the people out there. Ben just said something that's amazing, and it's really what separates him from everybody else that's had his sort of life. Is that he said he learned from us. And that's always been the point of the show, is us learning from each other. And, sometimes nobody wants to believe that people, that pharmaceutical companies or whoever are doing this for really extremely nefarious reasons. And sometimes
nefarious,
it's
nefarious, but human.
Yeah, and sometimes it's hard to digest. And, I love your honesty. And on that note, if you just tuned in, you are listening to The World According to That Man.
You're very kind.
Ben,
call me Ferris Bueller.
No, but for what you did, everybody could learn from. And it's also you constantly saying, I don't know. And you're not argumentative with people for the most part. And if ever, and that's a real skill. That's a real attribute. So many people should learn. And I want to lead into the next segment with this, but if you just tune in, you are listening to The World According to Ben Stein. We're joined tonight from thesimplelifenow.com and his new studio, A Bunker Away. Gary, this is Gary Collins with his rush glass for the people that are listening to the podcast. New one. And of course, from 90.1 WIBC, bam, the president of conservative talk radio, Bobby Kendall. Yeah, Bob.
Duke, we need Duke. Come on, Coach K.
Wait. Are you talking about Duke of Earl, Duke of Earl? And Gary Collins, you know that song?
I grew up as a kid, I remember that song.
I just want to tell you something. I totally forgot. I'm looking at the, somebody said when you brought up the chicken remark about how cheap the chicken was, somebody said, did you lose your bet this week? which I found to be really funny. But I really want to get to something. I sent everybody a video, Ben, you might not have seen it. And we posted on our local channel, which was, it was pretty awesome.
Locals.
In Israel, they for the first night of Hanukkah in a certain part of Israel, they lit the menorah, and the menorah was built out of missiles.
Ooh.
that had been shot into the land. And the person lighting the menorahs, you know, gave the speech basically saying, you know, he's turning weapons into light.
Mm-hmm. Great.
And
great.
I just thought it was an extremely beautiful message. And I thought that's what really separates them. And the name of tonight's show, and I encourage everybody to go look at the video on our locals. And we are going to be making an announcement, giving away free membership soon. But one of the things we call tonight's show is whatever you do, don't call them Jihad Squad. And the reason I brought that up is because Lauren Boebert, who I initially wanted to defend, she makes herself really, Ben, really hard to defend. Because if you're going to do Trump, be Trump. Don't apologize. And secondly, if you're going to be Trump, Trump knows what he's doing. For everything Trump says, for the most part, he knows the underlying thing. So if you're Lauren Boebert and you decide to call them Jihadi Squad, simply say, or whatever Matt Knapsack joke he said, simply say, do they support jihad? They call themselves the squad? They are the Jihadi Squad. And so don't otherwise she sounds like AOC spouting shit she doesn't know and using like lines to become famous, Ben. And they are the jihadi squad and they're terrifying.
They are terrifying. To think that they are in the Congress of the United States is just breathtaking. Really, really scary. And one hardly knows what to think. I mean, even there was a senator named Senator Nye. I'm not quite sure where he was from, but one of our readers, maybe Mr. Rockbreath, could look it up. I think his name was Gerald Nye. I think he might have been from my beloved Idaho, but I'm not sure. Anyway, excuse me, he was an open, admitted apologist for Adolf Hitler, but he did not apologize for terrorism explicitly, as I understand the jihadi squad to do. So what is happening in America when people like that are in Congress and when the Republicans have to apologize to them for making a joke, which obviously they weren't about to lock up that woman representative. They weren't about to torture her or crucify her. They were just making a joke. I don't know if it was a perfect
and
joke.
Especially
or not,
considering
but
Elon.
For God's sake, you can't make a joke.
Especially considering Elon Omar has said some of the most anti-Semitic and racist things. But Gary, like I said, my problem is that she apologized over it.
I know, that's it, great.
If you're going to go out and say this, own it.
It threw me too, because I go, that was pretty vicious. I mean, she went out there and spewed the truth and then took it back. You know what it is, though?
Took it back and apologized.
Oh, it was the knapsack comment that got her to take it back.
That woman representative got in the elevator without her usual knapsack. Apparently, she often carries around a knapsack. Or sometimes does anyway. And so Representative Boebert said, either out loud or in the phone, "Oh, we're all safe." She didn't bring her knapsack.
Right. I think it's a very funny joke.
It's an extremely funny joke. And so, of course, the political correctness police got on Ms. Boebert's case and just knocked her flat. And she had to apologize. But I don't think she did have to apologize.
That's my point.
Well,
yeah,
the thing is, it's a good point. You should never apologize for the truth and anything like that. My attitude is once you give in, they've got you. And I've always said, you can attack me all you want. If I'm telling the truth and I'm saying it like it is, I'm not apologizing. You're not going to break me. It's not going to happen. Cause once you break them, now you own them. Now you have them. And that's my attitude, is they put pressure on, but I'd be curious if the Republican Party put pressure on her for the apology. I'm guessing yes.
Ben, he's 100% right. Of course they did.
I didn't say they didn't. I just said I hope they didn't.
Yeah, of course they did. They probably threatened to take her off whatever committee she's on, like they did with Green and Gosar. And
what's going on?
And that guy King from Iowa. Opposed to Ilhan Omar being on, you know, and all these people, Rob. You know, it's, Rob, these people are fucking anti-Semites, literally haters of Israel, haters of Jews. Anti-Semitism has been on the rise in America. And I could tell you with all the certainty in my heart, with no data, Ben Stein, but Rob, that these people have allowed more anti-Semitism to occur. It's in the government, it's okay in society, Rob.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt that the squad has a deep-seated hatred for America. They have no respect for the foundation of the country, and they'd love to see America torn down and built back up in a different form and fashion.
Well, they don't want it to be a free country. They want it to be a Muslim dictatorship. I mean, that's what they, at least that's what it seems like to me. I mean, where are the people who defended America and the Constitution? Where are they? Where's the Republican National Committee saying we stand behind the Constitution?
Ben, they don't exist.
The Constitution is the bedrock of America. We're not going to back down against it. We'd rather kill ourselves than back down from it.
But can I say something? Judah made a good point. I'm learning from Judah here tonight. See?
Thank you. Thank you. You rock.
Ben gets a full speech. I get a thank you.
Rob, I'm honored. I'm honored and I'm privileged.
No, you made a great point, which is so many of these politicians on the Republican side try to be Trump or Trumpy or Trump-like, and there's only one Trump. And a lot of them aren't very good at it, and they look bad when they try to do it. the politicians, and I think it's so often they lose who they actually are as human beings, so they're not capable of being themselves anymore. But they need to stop trying to be like Donald Trump.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And if you are going to be Donald Trump, then follow Donald Trump and don't apologize. Double down on whatever it is you said and figure out a way out, because it's always going to be there that you said this, Ben Stein. And I'm so sick and tired when you know what this idea of Islamophobia. We have a right to be scared of Islamic people. Okay,
you bet.
I'll be the first one to say it. Ben, the lowest estimate is 10% of all of Islam is radicalized. That's 170 million people running around our world, or the world, that are radicalized Islamic.
Well, but you're sort of stopping in the middle. That to be radically Islamicized means kill Jews, kill the children, kill the wives, kill the old people, kill them all, kill Americans, kill all Christians. And believe me, nobody, I don't care if you're the Pope, anybody loves real Christians more than this fat old Jew who's looking at you.
Are you looking at me? Are you talking about me?
He's married to a Christian. I am so much of a fan of the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot even imagine. And when I think that we as a people are not standing up for Christianity as opposed to the radical Islamicists, it makes me sick.
No, Ben, perfectly said, Gary. And Gary, we have these
dildos?
No, I didn't.
I thought you're going dildo.
No, I didn't. No, my mother listens to the show. I didn't go there. When you listen to these people, I don't know if I'm more scared of offending Ben's wife or my mother, but Gary, when you look at these people, we're getting back in this Iran nuclear deal thing again. Iran 2 days ago was calling for the destruction of Israel.
Israel, yet again.
And as a Jew, and I'm being serious, how am I supposed to take it? I want everybody to understand, and as America, how am I supposed, but as a Jew, how am I supposed to take it? And how am I supposed to not look at these people and say, most of Iran, Gary, given a gun, is going to kill a Jew. Yeah. And that's just a fact, Jack.
I don't know if it's most of it, but a hell of a lot of it. Too many, way too many. And what we have found, sad thing, is that it takes a gun. You have, at least in that part of the world, not in America. I do not recommend reckless use of firearms in America at all. But in Israel, in the Middle East, nobody gave a goddamn about Israel until the Israelis showed they were willing to pick up the gun and fight back.
A gun they weren't given.
Right.
A gun that was extremely hard to get.
Until Nixon came along. Yeah. But Menachem Begin, I saw him interviewed a long, long time ago. He said he was the prime minister of Israel. And somebody said, don't you think Israel should set an example by being the most humanitarian country in the world and endlessly turning the other cheek? And he said, no. Israel should be a country like every other country, like France or Italy or any other country, and should be able to defend itself. And that is absolutely correct.
There's I would love to know what to people that know about Menachem Begin, he was, I believe, part of the Irgun, but he was also, he blew up the King David Hotel. And
part of the group.
And he gave them the British quite a few warnings. They just decided not to listen to him. But he's also, I believe it, when he died, the New York Times said terrorist Menachem Begin dead at a certain age. But Gary, getting back to it, it's like, and you and I had a real honest discussion on the phone today, and I would not share 98% of it. But these things really do need to be said. We really need to start, saying these six twits six of them in the House are so dangerous to our country. It's not even funny, and we're not going to be scared by labels of Islamophobia or racist, Gary.
Great. Who are the six, please?
Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, Corey Bush, And who else is a member? The Presley woman, the bald.
Presley. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Una Presley.
And there's the one that came back from Israel today that's getting banned now because he came back from Israel and refused to talk crap. So, I'll get you the full squad. But Gary, go on.
Well, here's the thing. And we were talking about this today. I'm tired of it. I'm going to fight fire with fire. I'm going to tell it like it is. I'm going to say it like it is. And that's the problem with the Republicans.
Oh, Tlaib. I'm sorry. Go on.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. How could we forget her? That we need to stop being pussies, basically. We need to start standing up for ourselves and punching back. You know what? If you're going to call me a racist, I'm going to call you for what you are. I'm going to call you a steaming piece of human shit that you are. If you're going to call me that, no matter what, I'm going to let it fly, and you better be prepared. And the Republicans better grow a backbone, because the problem is they let them walk all over. And again, apologizing. Why would you apologize for the truth? You never apologize for the truth, ever, period.
100%.
And that's the problem. Is she called those? She called them out, and she did it, and it was 100% fact. And you know what? If they're going to cancel you, they're going to cancel you. You might as well go out with a flamethrower, is my attitude. And at least get your point across.
Go down and but we have to realize that there are an awful lot of Americans who just don't care about the truth. They hate Jews. They hate Christians. They just hate. There are an awful lot of people who are haters. It's really sad, and it should not be. But there are an awful lot of people in this country who are just haters.
You're 100% correct. And Rob, what I love about Rob the most, one of the things, is your constant bashing of the RNC. And it's time that...
But I like the RNC.
No, you don't. I mean, you really... No, Ben, this, you know what? In a week, I could almost guarantee, I hope he has the same thing as the pharmaceutical companies. But let's be real. The RNC is run by... They're a bunch of criminals. You have Mitt Romney's niece or
That's whatever. That's terrible.
Mitt Romney's Republican?
Ben, you might as well burn your money than give it to the RNC. And Rob, I mean, this is an organization that has become it's archaic almost, Rob.
Well, and I think that's the great sadness that it brings me, that the Democrats, obviously, it'll bring me great joy. The Democrats will likely lose the Congress next year, and that's wonderful. The problem is it'll be the Republicans who get rewarded with it. And it's going to be the same group of losers, save for maybe like a Herschel Walker, who's going to be in there, that added $9 trillion to the deficit when they were in the majority for 4 years. I mean, there's this just completely disingenuous, pathological, lying senator we have out here, Todd Young, who was on a Stop Washington Waste tour earlier this year. It's like, stop, you added $9 trillion when you were in the majority. You're not mad about Washington Waste. You're just mad you're not the one wasting the money anymore.
No, it's brilliantly said, and I love when you talk Indiana politics. I just find it amazing. But Ben, to his point, and no offense to your friend, but you had Lindsey Graham on the air today talking about the new bill, the Build Back Better, and how much it's going to cost. And yet he voted knowing that had they not voted for the infrastructure bill, that this Build Back Better bill wouldn't even be an issue. So Lindsey Graham got this set. It was one of the senators that before the House even saw it, or there was a bill, set it in motion and gave it approval. And this is what we're dealing with, Ben. It's
a very unfortunate situation, but there's a sort of prevailing wisdom in the country. It's very hard to fight. It takes a really extraordinary person to fight it. Ronald Reagan was such a person in terms of foreign affairs. Nixon was such a person. But it's a very rare person who does that. I mean, we have to realize, as I've said many times, and you've been kind enough to note it, Judah, the media is the fourth branch. The media is very connected to La Pueblo, as we locals say, El Pueblo. But we're fighting against an uphill battle. America has been propagandized for a long time. May I back up? I have a very wonderfully beautiful friend, not as beautiful as my wife.
Hold on one second. You're backing up? Anyway, it was a terrible joke. You know, when vans back up, they make the, anyways, go on.
Anyway, my beautiful, beautiful friend was telling me that her daughter is being taught in school how slaves got to be in America, and that they were just picked up for wandering around the streets of Slavovania, or where, some very, very sad place in Africa, and then put in ships and sent to America and sold as slaves. But that isn't how people got to be slaves at all. Their fellow Black Africans sold them into slavery. Okay, you may say, well, so the answer is everyone has a share in the horrible catastrophe of human morality that was human slavery. And to for American young people being propagandized and said that's the white person, it's the inherent racism of the white person, that's just nonsense. And yet that's what kids are being taught today. And they're also being taught that all Republicans are thieves and that businessmen are fascists. My wifey and I, the saint of saints, my wifey and I, every night just about watch a show, a fabulously good show, called Foyle's War, about a British detective during World War II.
He's done with Perry Mason. He made it through.
I was going to say, how many shows do you watch each night, Ben?
Well, wifey and I watched this. And I said to wifey, I can always tell who the killer is going to be. It's whoever is going to be the richest or whoever is the most decorated as a peer or any other kind of lord or earl or something. It's always going to be the big guy, the powerful guy, who's the villain. This is the nature of media. That's what has been teaching American young people, and now they're middle-aged, and now they're elderly people forever. If you see a person who's got money, you might want his car, you might want his girlfriend, you might want his, I don't know what else, but they're going to be killers.
You know, Rob, and I love I can't wait till Ben gets on his new show. Hopefully it'll be one of my favorite BBC shows, which is Sherlock. The BBC, by the way, for everybody, creates fantastic shows. I mean, let's see, they create some
Marxist themes.
Not the ones I watch. I got to be honest, but maybe they do. But Rob, getting back to it, you know, what Brenda said about the schools, they're being taught, sadly, that you could change your sex, you could do all these different things, but you can't achieve greatness.
Yeah.
That American exceptionalism is dead. That this idea that you could come from nothing and make yourself into something is sort of a dead, it's a dead thing, Rob.
Well, that's what we've talked about many times on this show about why there is now such a pushback from the school system, including trying to get the Department of Justice involved on parents who are pushing back and challenging, because they recognize that the public education system is the breeding ground for which to indoctrinate literally generations now of people. And it's so vital and important to the leftward tilt of the country that if there's any blockade of that, that they're in big trouble. And that's why you have seen the rabid response from the radical public education extremists against parents who have wised up.
Very brilliant and important, but it's the private educational system too. I mean, when I went to private college and private law school, and we had plenty of people giving a Marxist interpretation. And if they were not giving a Marxist interpretation, much of the faculty gave them the cold shoulder.
I thought that you said in your day it wasn't nearly as bad as it is.
Nowhere near as bad. Nowhere near, not even close to as bad. But it was in the wings.
Okay. And Gary,
so I had some great pro-American, pro-capitalist teachers. Some truly great.
Well, you had Bob Bork.
At Bob Bork, I had many other great, great pro-capitalist, pro-free enterprise teachers, great ones.
I just find that to be, Gary, one of those other amazing things.
Yeah, Robert Bork, yeah.
But go on. So, Gary, but getting back to this, you know, the reason I was thinking about this, I was talking.
Wait. You had Robert Bork as a teacher?
Yes, he was my constitutional law teacher, and he was one of my parents' best friends.
Hillary Clinton was 2 years behind him in law school.
I think she might have only been 1 year.
Or 1 year behind him. I mean, you know, like I've said, we've played the game. Who has Ben Stein not met? you know, it's or who has he, you know, I mean, there is like a literally a half a degree of separation between Ben Stein and the universe at this point. I mean, there's somebody in Iran who probably watched Win Ben Stein's Money, probably changed the name. But on that note, if you just tuned in, you are listening to The World According to That Man, Benjamin Jeremy Stein. We're joined tonight from thesimplelifenow.com founder, member of the Rush Army, Gary Collins. You look great as always, Gary.
Thank you. Thank
God bless you, Gary.
And of course, from 93.1 WIBC, bam, the president of conservative talk radio, Rob Kendall.
Duke of Earl.
And of course, degenerate gambler, Rob Kendall. And of course, America's humble servant, Benjamin Jeremy Stein. And I was thinking about this today, Ben. As I was thinking about, I think partially because I was on the phone with Gary or whatever, and we were talking about, you know, Republicans winning. And I thought, here's, you know how we always talk about where, like with election integrity and this stuff? For the life of me, we know how they cheat, right? So Republicans are getting into power. And one of the ways they
cheat.
Well, we hope. And let's say we hope. And one of the ways that nobody's ever brought up, and I would love to see how they would consider this racism. I'd love the argument, even though everything is racist. Why is it? So when you have exit polls, the news companies are not allowed to give the exit polling numbers until everybody voted so as to not sway, right? You don't get the exit polls until the last polls close, Ben Stein. So why is it? You know, I know it's fun for all of us on election night to watch what counties are coming in and when. Don't do it. Don't announce elections until every vote in every tiny county in America has reported their voting. That way nobody could get together and say we need 10,000 more votes because, you know, this county didn't get that many votes. Excuse me. It's such a simple fix, Ben.
I agree. It's a very, very, very good idea, and love it a lot. And I'm afraid it'll never work because the media's not going to do any favors to conservatives. They're not going to do anything.
No, but I'm saying, as conservatives, make it a bill that you can't give election counts.
Make it a bill. They're not going to do that. That's a violation of the First Amendment.
No. Why is it? What do you mean? You can't have an election bill that says on election night.
No, you can't have a bill that would tell the networks or the newspapers or radio or internet what to report.
No, that's. I'm not saying report. I'm saying make it that these counties that nobody gives their vote count until everybody is vote. Then until they're done with the count.
I question whether or not it violates free speech, but I may well be wrong. It certainly would be a good idea, and we'll see. We'll see if it flies, but nobody's going to do it because the Democrats at this point benefit from it, so why would they do anything that goes against what benefits them? But I have a question.
I'm saying Republicans,
if they get in, let's hope and pray they do, and then we can think about it. I have a question. We've often discussed this. What's the end game for that, for Biden and for Mrs. Pelosi and for that Schumer? What do they really want? Do they really hate America that much? And if so, why? Why would Nancy Pelosi, a woman who's had her breasts enlarged billion times, who's terribly rich, has a lot of jewelry, although not as much as my wife, and what's in it for them? What are they doing? What's in it for them?
Gary?
They're complete psychopaths. They're broken. The thing for them is psychopaths get their thrill over having influence on other things, in their case, other people.
Yeah.
It's anything they can control. I mean, these are the people who, you know, they get joy out of it. You can hear it in their voice. I mean, look at Sucky. I love her. I call her Sucky. She actually has a tone in her voice where she actually enjoys talking down to people, talking down to reporters, and they love this. Nancy Pelosi does it, Schumer does it, they all do it, and it's this attitude of, I call it the God complex. You know, it's, I know better, I'm so much smarter than you, and I deserve this money that I've stolen from you because I'm better than you. It's a weird psychology. I've actually had long talks with psychologists about this behavior and this deviant behavior. And the best answer I could ever get, a good friend of mine, Dr. Woodburn, who's been on my show, he goes, you'll never figure it out. They're crazy. You can't, only way you can understand crazy is you have to be crazy yourself. Yeah, that's the only time it makes sense.
The question, asking this question, Ben, will make you crazy. Like asking, like, but Rob, I want you to answer Ben's question, but I also want to get back to my question, Rob, because I'm not sure if Ben is understanding me correctly. I'm simply saying all the numbers of the final count should be announced at one time. There shouldn't be counties by counties by counties. That way there could be one last county that hasn't gotten their vote in that could put 100,000 votes in, like Wisconsin. If everybody is in the dark, it makes it a little bit harder to cheat, Rob. So answer both.
I had lunch yesterday with a fairly high-profile member of the establishment wing of the Indiana Republican Party, and we did it far away from the city of Indianapolis, so his reputation would not be ruined by being seen with me. And one of the things that we talked about was this idea of election fraud, because there's a Secretary of State election coming up here next year. And he made a pretty good point. He said, it's hard to do voter fraud on a large scale. And I think when we talk about the idea of voting irregularities and voting fraud, we've got to get more specific with people, because with all the precinct committeemen that are involved, with all the election workers that are involved, it's hard to do it on a broad scale. It can be done. It probably, many of us believe, was done in some capacity in swing states. I think a lot of it had to do more so with mail-in balloting that took place in places like Pennsylvania. But we've got to dumb it down for people when we talk about voting fraud, because the idea of the vast, large conspiracy probably isn't true. But getting back to what you're saying, yes, because it's amazing. We were on the air together on election night in Virginia. Youngkin's up 6%, and then I'll be darned, at 10 o'clock, here comes the largest county in Virginia. Boy, it got close, didn't it? It's amazing how it keeps happening.
And they saved it, Ben, for the last county. They saved the last county, the biggest county, for the best.
Well, just out of curiosity, since my wifey at one point lived in Virginia, what is that county?
I believe it's Loudoun County.
It's Loudoun.
Yeah, I believe it's Loudoun County, and they save Loudoun County for last. And everybody, it's like, why should we be sitting at home, everybody looking? I mean, in the first place, what's the difference if the media gets the numbers at the end of the night and they start showing it in a certain way? All I'm saying is, everybody get your numbers in, and then let's start the projecting. Not saving, Rob.
Well, I was going to say that until
you brought up a good point.
Well, until they fixed the mail-in balloting, I mean, there was so much. I mean, that court in Pennsylvania saying it doesn't matter what your legislature says, it doesn't matter what the law says, you can just count them 3 days after if you want. Until they get mail-in balloting under control, which means you're going to have to, and this is what Republicans have got to realize. Democrats are really good at winning the down ballot races, and we're seeing it play out with like prosecutors now, how important that is. But these Secretary of State races are super important because they control the elections. Yeah. And until you get the mail-in balloting, the lack of voter ID in many places, same-day voter registration, all of those things in many cases make it just a total smorgasbord of options in terms of voter fraud that could be committed.
And you're completely right. And Ben, getting back to it, we've been saying here, and I'm hearing other people saying it, that this is essentially the closer the midterms get, the more variants are going to get out there. I told you the other day, New York, the new governor of New York declared it a state of emergency, even though not one case of this, just so she can control, pretty much she has full control over all the politics in New York. And this, and the closer we get, Ben, to the election, I could guarantee you, some sort of lockdown, some sort of mail-in vote that it'll be required, and here we go again, and it's like, Republicans, can you not see this? This is what I mean about the RNC. They raise so much money. Why the heck do they not bring these things up, Ben?
Well, why the heck don't they use some of it to bring lawsuits and litigate this?
That's exactly right.
Try to find endless, try to find a judge who will do something about it and who will say, let's count the ballots again. Let's make sure these ballots are real. Let's make sure they're legitimate. Let's make sure they come from people who are alive and at the addresses that are listed as their addresses. That would be a very, very big start. We've discussed a great number of times here how unreliable the courts have become in terms of enforcing the law, but they're all we've got at this point. It may change if the Republicans win the midterms. We hope and pray it does, but we can't count on that. We never can count on that. We have to hope and pray that there's somebody out there who will enforce the law. The Democrats, this is something I learned at Yale. The Democrats, the leftists were smart. They just appealed and appealed and appealed. And eventually they beat down the laws that were suppressing communism in America. And nobody thought it could be done, but they just appealed endlessly, endlessly, endlessly. And finally, they won. I don't see why the Republicans, who have a jillion times more money than the Communist Party of the United States ever had, cannot do the same thing.
Because they want to be with the cool kids. And Gary, I think...
But the cool kids then were the Republicans.
Oh.
The cool kids in the early and mid-50s or late 50s were the Republicans. And even so, the Democrats appealed and appealed and appealed, and the communists appealed and appealed and appealed, and eventually they got their way. They will just have to find a few judges, and you're all set.
They're lazy. And Gary, to what I think
they're lazy. That's right, they're lazy.
And I think to Gary's, to Rob's brilliant point, second brilliant point of the night, is we have to do a much better job at explaining what we mean by election fraud.
Absolutely.
Because this was what I kept on saying with the last election. The whole Dominion thing took everything out of control. This is my humble opinion. People just needed to see that Wisconsin, if somebody could explain to somebody and say, Wisconsin was 120,000 ballot dump from one town, and he won by 10,000 votes at 2 a.m., just explain to me, and just say to the person, Gary, explain to me how that is statistically
possible.
Well, here's what I think's happened, though, is they've played their hand too many times because it always happens at 10 o'clock at night. I'm noticing this pattern that you go to bed and you go, it's over. You wake up and you go, what just happened? And it's repeating over and over again. The problem right now is I'm a firm believer in this, is voting with your feet. I just did it. That people who are in some of these states that, you know, like California and New York, you need to leave. If you don't believe in this progressive liberal socialist state that they want, leave. Live somewhere where you're wanted and your vote counts. What's happened is five states now control elections. That's the problem. You have New York and California and then three basically swing states. That's what's determining elections now. And the Democrats are smart. They spent 4 years getting their people in the right counties. They knew which counties were going to determine the election, and they knew the states. They knew. They infiltrated the system well before. They got lucky with COVID. I got to give them credit. They got lucky. The fix was in, but COVID played perfectly into their mail-in ballot plan. That put it on steroids.
Assuming COVID is real.
Yeah, well, and I think what we should do now is go back to what it was. Go, hey, if you're afraid of voting in person, get the vaccine and wear a mask. Otherwise, too bad, you don't vote. You will vote in person. If you're not in the military or disabled overseas with the government, you got to show up and stand in line and vote. Get off your ass. That's the American way.
No,
not to use computers. The computer technology business is run by wacky liberals in foreign countries. We need to stop that. If you want elections to be fair, you need to go to the poll. You need to sign your ballot. You need a receipt of your ballot. You go home. That's the easy.
And can I tell you something? It feels good.
Absolutely.
It feels good. It feels good once you voted. It does. There's something.
It does. It's absolutely true.
There's something very like... real
conjugal,
and nice.
Very conjugal. It's like having sex with America. I said that a long time ago.
That's true.
Unless you get attacked by the Black Panthers that one time.
that's actually brilliant, Ben. And I love that. And it's like having sex. But I want to, we're running out of time, but you said something that's about, and you said it the other night too, that's if it's real. And just because your views have on this too have evolved a little bit. What do you exactly mean by that? As we're running out of time,
well, I'm wondering just if there was such a thing as science, if you could figure out how many people really did die of this virus, who did not have severe underlying conditions, which would have ended their lives prematurely anyway. I'd be curious to know how that works out as compared with deaths from tuberculosis, deaths from severe viruses of other kinds, deaths from smoking, deaths from excessive drinking, deaths from other kinds of influenza. As I figure, and believe me, I am far from the last word, the number of deaths, any is too many, but the number of deaths strictly related to COVID is not that enormous, not enough to turn the society upside down.
I just love that you're saying this, and Rob, and I just, as we're running out of time, I love that Ben and Gary, I love that he's saying this, because it's just, we're questioning and we're asking, and this is what the people that we elect should be doing, exactly what Ben is bringing up.
Republican. And what the hell is COVID? I mean, really, what is it?
Great question, Rob. Final thoughts of the night.
Well, it comes back to what we talked about earlier when Fauci says, I am science. And Rand Paul is science too. He's a doctor. He's also a medical doctor. And yet you're only science, it seems like, if you think a certain way. And science is based on the idea of differing opinions and debate and a lot of discussion to come up with an answer. And the science that keeps asserting they're the science seems like they're wrong an awful lot.
Put it like this, if I needed science, I'd go to wegrowhairhindi.com before I'd go to Fauci. Gary, final thoughts.
Well, it's an interesting point, right? It's only science if you agree with my point of view. But I agree with Ben. I've said it from the beginning that I thought COVID was strange, because I've known now, I'd say half the people I know who have been vaccinated have gotten COVID. And they didn't get a little bit of COVID. They got COVID. And I know some people who've gotten really sick after being vaccinated. And Ben, got you and your wife and you got sick getting vaccinated. You know, you didn't feel good for two. If you don't feel good for 2-3 weeks or a month and you have lingering effects, isn't that the same as getting COVID? I'm a little puzzled. If you have these, if you feel like you had COVID after the vaccination, and we know this, science says that if you get it naturally occurring and you build your immune system, it's at least bare minimum just as good as being vaccinated, but in most cases, better.
And just, we're running out of time, Ben, and it's the most condescending thing, and to Gary's point, when you and I got horrifically sick, people were basically saying, let's think about this, that our horrific sickness wasn't enough. That me spinning in the bathroom at 4 a.m. shaking as I was trying, just in bed, that they're basically saying, Ben, had I not gotten the shot, I would have been dead.
I don't know what to say. Yeah. All I can say is, I wish I were in the land
of cotton. We're not done yet, Ben. I still gotta, okay, I know you've gotta go. And welcome Rock Breath a little late to the party. But listen, to the people that have been watching, we are gonna be switching services. Now, switching services sometimes, we're gonna switch from Zoom so it's more Rumble accessible. It's not always easy because it's a lot of parts and teaching people how to use that new service. So bear with us as we try to, with Rumble, use a different platform instead of Zoom. Sorry
for using? Why am I the last one to hear about this?
Well, no, because it's...
I haven't heard about it.
Yeah, because that's the exact point. I got to figure it out first and then teach everybody how to use it. And it'll be fairly simple. But I want to thank everybody that's been listening to the show, that's going to be downloading the show. Ben Stein on Rumble, to subscribe to the channel, benstein.substack.com. But also, we're on locals.com.
We
will be giving away a great membership in a few days and really having extra bonus stuff and material on there. It'll be fun. And Rob Kendall will be contributing like he did the other day with his great picture of him in front of Ben Stein on Thanksgiving of the TV, Ben. He had a picture of himself in front of you and a TV. And Gary Collins will be contributing from The Simple Life Now. So everybody, 93.1 WIBC, bam! He is the president of Conservative Talk Radio. Gary Collins from TheSimpleLifeNow.com. Download his podcast. Do it. Ben Stein, of course, from spectator.org, also from Newsmax. Ben, I got to tell you, I'm honored tonight. I think it was the coolest thing in the world when somebody or anybody says, I might have been wrong. And I think everybody could learn that lesson and say, from Ben Stein, seriously, everybody could learn that lesson.
I am humbled.
If this administration at any point would say, like Ben Stein said, or this regime or anybody would say, you know, you guys convinced me, we'd be in a lot better place right now. Ben Stein, please take us out.
Oh, I wish I was in the land of cotton. Old times there are not forgotten. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. That I wish I was in Dixie. Away, away, in Dixieland. I'll take my stand to live and die in Dixie. Away, 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 down south in Dixie. Away, 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 down south in Dixie. Good night, everybody, and God bless America.
God bless you all. We will see you Thursday night.